If I ask each of you in the group to write me a brief note, would all of you immediately pick up your pen with your little finger and jot off your thoughts? If so, I might never be able to interpret what you're really saying, but certainly I would appreciate your scrawling. What if you had used your little finger and your ring finger? Well, it would still be difficult communication, wouldn't it, via this immature, childish scribble. But if you used all your fingers in right relation, then I could probably very easily understand your thoughts. This tape is an illustration of another use of a hand. We're going to talk today about the word hand, and this describes five ways to make the Bible yours. The world is looking, ladies, for living epistles. Let's accept the honor that God wants to give to those who will use every means possible to hide the Word of God in their hearts. Put your own hand down on a blank sheet of paper and trace around it, and fill in each finger like the illustration you see on page 32 of your study. Now look at it and answer this question: what sort of a grasp do you have on the Word of God? Let's start with the little finger, which is the least effective means of taking in God's Word, but still very necessary. Hear it. If I'm a Christian, John 8:47 informs me that I will gladly listen to God's Word. Also, you recall that Romans 10:17 from your own study says that reading the Word of God produces faith in our lives. Do you believe that, ladies? Look back through in your mind through the Old Testament and the New Testament for examples of those who heard God's Word and were affected by it. For instance, in the Old Testament, you might be thinking of Abraham or Joshua, Jonah, David, Solomon, or in the New Testament, Paul, or Peter, or the woman at the well, or the eunuch, or Timothy. And there we've named 10 just to begin naming a few. But hearing alone will not be sufficient. Suppose you came to dinner at our house, and when you walked in, your appetite was really aroused by the aroma of the prepared meal. But then, what if I seated you 6 feet from the table and turned the giant fan on behind the food that we had so carefully prepared to just make sure that you got the terrific aroma? You wouldn't be satisfied with that, would you? Well, neither should we be satisfied only to hear God's Word. The second way of intake is to read the Word of God. Now, some excuse themselves from reading by exclaiming in dismay that they can never remember what they read. Have you said that? I have. Do you remember what you had for lunch 2 weeks ago today? Can't remember? Did it serve the purpose? Of course, you see, the value is not in our memory, but in the menu of what we had. So read, even if the thoughts go through your minds like water through a sieve. You know you can't fill up a sieve with water, but the more you try, the cleaner the sieve becomes. And so it is with our minds and lives as we read the Word of God. The third way to take in the Word is to study it. God wants us to figure out the area of our greatest need and then study the Scriptures that can transform us in that area. For instance, maybe you are having a real problem overcoming temptation. Study James 1. Or perhaps you're having clashes in love relationships in your home. Study 1 Corinthians 13. Now, of course, this is going to take paper and pencil and time and effort, but the results and the reward is overwhelming. The fourth way to take in God's Word is to memorize it. And Scripture memory helps you come alive. Oh, no, I don't mean superficially, but deep down inside where you live. It will expand your confidence in God's love and in His purposes for you no matter what happens in your life. Proverbs 6:22-24 should answer the question about why we should memorize. Would you like to turn to it with me? In verse 22, we see that we should memorize in order to guide us, to affect our subconscious, to affect our conscious minds. Verse 23, we should memorize to give insight and to discipline us. And verse 24, we should memorize Scripture to keep us from sin. The best way to memorize a verse is to read it over and over, preferably aloud. Seek to grasp the meaning of the verse. Now look at each phrase separately. And repeat from memory the reference in the first phrase, then the reference in the first and second phrases, and so on until you can say the entire verse correctly with the reference before and after. It's very helpful, ladies, to write the verse out as a part of the process of learning. Writing it down makes a particularly strong impression on the mind. Then review the verse immediately after you've memorized it, 20 or 30 times. Then review it every day for the next 2 months. Those who study the mind tell us that anything you repeat every day of the week for 7 weeks is almost impossible to forget. All right, the last way of taking in the Word of God is really the most important one because it's used in conjunction with all the other four. And when it's used with any of the other four ways of intake, it greatly multiplies the effectiveness of the Word of God to us. This is meditation. God does not promise us success for just memorizing His Word, but He does promise success for any person who will meditate on His Word day and night. The steady, persistent mental practice of memorizing and meditating on Scripture will change your whole mindset, will stabilize your emotions, and will refocus your ambitions. When God communicates on success in the Scriptures, He always connects it with the constant inner activity of meditating. For instance, just meditate on these 6 results of meditation in the Scripture. Joshua 1:8 says that you will have good success. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3 says that whatever you do will end in good fortune. Psalm 119, verses 97 and 100 say that you will outstrip others in wisdom and understanding. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11 say that you will have a new power over sin. Proverbs 4:4 says that you will find out how to really live. 1 Timothy 4:15 says that the success that you have will be plain to everyone. If you don't have all the fingers of the hand, that is, hearing, reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing, functioning in your life, you're crippling the effectiveness of God's message to you for achieving your fullest potential. Do you have a good grasp on the Word of God? A 5-fingered grasp on the Word of God? What will you do this week to begin getting this kind of a grip or grasp on the Word of God?